Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Mike Force Podcast, my podcast. I like doing the Mike Force Podcast solo sometimes. Last week, we had Bert Soren. The week before, we had Sheriff Mark Lamb. And the week before, I did Being a Dad is Rad, because I think being a dad is actually rad. I want to talk about a couple things. One, the Trump issue. Many issues surrounding Trump. But today, as I've literally just found the article, the Supreme Court just threw out the case, an argument that given the 14th Amendment, they were going to pull Trump from the ballot. At least that's what the left wanted to do. Apparently, the Supreme Court doesn't agree with that. They threw it out, and he will likely be on the ballot. I've been talking about it for months now, how potentially that was a campaign and a potential effort leading into the 2024 elections is keeping him off the ballot, which would mean we would have to go to the backup. And you don't want to be going to the backup in the final inning right before we decide who's going to be the GOP candidate. So that's news. We'll talk about that. Also about the Black Hawk Down. Today's October 4th and 5th, October 3rd in Mogadishu, Somalia. It's famously known as Black Hawk Down because of the movie from the book written by Bowden. But this situation, the Gothic Serpent situation, is near and dear to my heart because I know several of the men that were on the ground and know a lot about the circumstances that happened that day. And we just launched and released our Philcraft Survival Presents on Black Rifle Coffee's YouTube channel, the story behind Brad Halling and his involvement during Gothic Serpent, which I'll talk about as well. Guys, let's get into this this Instagram post by Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk wrote, Donald Trump is facing a civil trial in New York for fraud. So which of the victims is suing him? That's a trick question. There aren't any. None of the New York's banks or insurance companies, Trump's supposed victims, are suing him. Trump's loans are repaid and his accounts are current. Because one judge says Trump overvalued his properties, that same judge is empowered to fine him hundreds of millions of dollars and try to break up Trump's organizations. Now, this is a huge issue because we're in day four of this entire case where Trump, I mean, this is very true. He should be campaigning right now in Iowa and New Hampshire, and he's stuck in a courtroom in New York City. Trump rages at Judge Engoron over low valuation of his property, says state has no case. And apparently they think they have a case, and we'll find out shortly if they do. But here are some facts of the case. Trump invoked his Fifth Amendment right during their first deposition in August of 2022. However, he answered questions during the second deposition in April of 2023. The judge ruled last week that former President Trump and his company deceived banks, insurers, and others by massively overvaluing his assets and exaggerating his net worth on paperwork. Now, according to Trump, which I believe, you have a system where he brings in estimators, people who are valuing his property, his assets. I mean, Trump's not gonna walk onto a property and go, this is worth this much. He's hiring experts for that. So he's been listening to the experts and then proposing that. But like Charlie Kirk said, where are the victims? There are none. So we have a judge who's looking into the life of a man who happens to be the candidate for president of the United States, who's leading in all the polls, Biden, by the way. There's only like one poll where they're tied. He's leading 1% to multiple percentage points over Biden and then crushing everybody in the GOP pool for the candidate for president of the United States. And so this, here lies the issue, right? The issue, look, I'm not the biggest Trump fan. But I, out of all the candidates that I've seen, Vivek Ramaswamy, you have DeSantis, you have all these candidates who are prospecting right now to campaign for their position. I don't think they can get it done. Like, I like DeSantis, but I don't think he has the ability to see it through. Trump, because he's not part of the political system, is the only person that I have trust that can get it done. And yeah, does he have issues? Is there divisive drama surrounding him and all the things that are going on? Certainly there are. But do you want four more years of Biden? That's the question. And I certainly don't. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen this in American history where We have the sitting president of the United States Department of Justice and federal judges going after the sitting nominee for president of the United States. That's scary, guys. I mean, this is very unprecedented. And he's right now stuck in New York City because of the civil fraud charges, and said he would far prefer being on the campaign in Iowa, New Hampshire, or elsewhere, but he can't due to the corrupt attorney general. Trump has attended each of the first 3 days of the trial, and we're day four of this. How's this going to unravel? Who knows? But the good news is, as I talked about in the beginning, he's going to be on the ballot. Trump being on the ballot means you can get out and vote. It looks like, based on every poll that we're sitting on, I mean, there's conspiracies right now, which, I mean, a lot of conspiracy theories have been proven to be fact over the last few years, but there's a lot of conspiracy theories saying that Gavin Newsom is going to be the nominee. He's going to wiggle worm his way in there, and somehow Taylor Swift, which I think is fascinating, is going to facilitate that happening. Here's what I'll say. If it comes down to it, Biden versus Trump, which it looks like it may be, who are you going to vote for? Leave your comments down below. Let me know in the YouTube feedback if you're on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and hit the notification tab as well. Let's talk about Black Hawk Down. Near and dear to my heart because, one, I'm very passionate about military history, having served in the military, but having served early on in my career at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, I very fondly became in the regime of my kind of like upbringing in the military, in my habits, how important it is in learning American and military history and your position as a leader or as a member of any service, any branch in the U.S. military. Knowing where you came from and knowing all the mistakes and all the history prior to you allows you to make better decisions as a leader and also be a more capable service member in the U.S. military. So I started that off having to learn it, 26 pages of knowledge and history on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, verbatim. I mean, I could literally recite that verbatim, but it kind of set the precedent of me looking into history and studying history and always having a book and knowing all the things prior to going into theater, going into combat. Like I profoundly studied Sunni and Shia conflict before going into Iraq for my five rotations there because I wanted to understand the civil unrest and how important these things were. Black Hawk Down October 3rd in Mogadishu, Somalia with Task Force Ranger is no exception. Now, how this started is, one, I'm going to link down the documentary, the mini doc that we did with Black Rifle Coffee down below. If you haven't seen it, please see it. For the sake of understanding where you come from, understanding veteran stories, survival stories, you know, overcoming adversity, please see that link down below because it's a very important one. We did a documentary on Brad Holling. Brad Holling was a member of Task Force Ranger. He belonged to a special missions unit. He was in the helicopter as teammates with Shuchart, Randy Shuchart, and Gary Gordon, both snipers that were in that helicopter, Super 6-1, that requested to be infiltrated onto Michael Durant's crash site. He was the Black Hawk helicopter pilot of 160th. A member of 160th, who was the surviving member fighting for his life. And so they requested to get on the ground to support. And at the time, Brad Holling, who was one of their teammates, was providing overwatch and support for Shuchart and Gordon. Shuchart and Gordon would lose their life and be posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. He said, Brad Holling, in that interview, that he never thought for a second when he left those guys, when they got off the bird and he flew away and started hovering above them to provide support for them, that would be the last time that he'd ever see him alive. A lot of guys, 18 total members of Task Force Ranger, were lost that day. A lot of lessons learned in a very long battle and a fight for survival. What I thought was really cool, because Brad Holling had the lead when it came to the storytelling of this, we gave him that opportunity. He wanted to focus on the medical support unit that saved a lot of lives, including the doctor that saved his life that day, that was a member of the MASH unit there in Mogadishu. So Brad Holling was hit with an RPG in that helicopter. It penetrated the helicopter, went through his leg, and impacted in the back of the helicopter, forcing that helicopter to limp itself back to base because of the expertise and the professionalism of those two 160th pilots that were flying that. They landed. He put a makeshift tourniquet on with a screwdriver. This is before combat applied tourniquets were a thing. And he wound up saving his life and then getting his life saved subsequently in secondary care by the medical unit that was on the ground. All of that was captured in that documentary. I also know other members, including Kyle Lamb and Tom Satterley. I've talked to Tom and Kyle about their time in Mogadishu, Somalia, and their fight for survival on the ground. A lot of those men have survivor's guilt. I get it. And they don't like to talk about those specific moments, but it's important that you listen to those lessons learned. Tom Satterley did a great interview on Sean Ryan's podcast, which I recommend, on his survival on that day as a young operator in a special missions unit. And there's many stories that you could read about, including Black Hawk Down, if you're unfamiliar with the story, because it's a pretty old story. This happened in 1993. I remember going to the theater in Fayetteville, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as a Special Forces student, watching that, knowing that men in the audience were members of a special missions unit watching that. And it was inspiring as a fight for survival and the historical chronicle that took place. But is an important piece of history for American history and special operations history that you should know. Guys, let's talk about some other things, like the homeschooling seminar that we just did. I want to lastly wrap this up with the education piece and why I think this is important to talk about, because it's near and dear to my heart, having kids and also wanting to have them homeschooled. But also, I think there are misconceptions that a lot of people don't understand what it is to homeschool your children. You know, I've been getting a lot of questions about this. This is something that I'm learning for myself, because my kids, who are now four, they're going to be homeschooled starting at the age of five. So I got a year to kind of figure this out. One, homeschooling your kids is not what it sounds like. Like, if I say homeschool your kids, I don't mean I think you should take it upon yourself to, like, you know, if you're working or if you're a stay-at-home mom or whatever, to be the educator for your children. I think that's the least acceptable position for optimizing your kids' well-being. Remember, core curriculum education is important, but we're not just talking about core curriculum education. We're talking about evolving, expanding, and progressing their position in life. So it's not just about the academics of basic math and arithmetic. Like, I'm not, like, set that aside. That's a given. What I mean is the developmental skills, the life skills, the technical and vocational skills they're going to learn to become more capable human beings, right? That's what I mean. And you can't do it alone. It's like the idea of, like, you living on the side of the mountain and kind of living your best life. You're not going to survive on your own. I mean, you want to think that, but it's going to require assets. It's going to require community buy-in, partnerships, relationships, a tribe. So when I say homeschool, what I want you to do is get into your community, talk to your neighbors, talk to your family, and figure out who wants to do the same. Collectively have the conversation how we're going to accomplish this and get that done. If your expertise, for example, is preparedness, like you do primitive survival, you know, you hunt, you're self-reliant, well, you could be that person that's educating the kids. You don't have to be the core curriculum person as the educator. In fact, you could outsource that, bring that in, have them teach, and then you could do the extracurricular stuff. But this is what I mean. It's like a co-op. It's a partnership. One of the things I'm thinking about doing is turning my house in Heber into a school. How do you do that? Have no clue. No clue. But I know Apogee, Matt at Apogee, Tim Kennedy, Alexis with Flourish Community, and all these different groups of people that I'm surrounded by, we could figure it out. So I'm going to help you through that process because I want to homeschool. If I have to set up a school here in Philcraft HQ, I'm going to do that because I want my employees, I want my friends, I want my family, and I want my community having the opportunity to educate their children in a place that's safe, where they know their kids are squared away and prepped for their best life. I mean, that's ultimately what we want to achieve. If you haven't seen Prepared, our last Prepared episode is pretty intense. We had a lot of footage from the team that was on site. They co-located with DPS, Department of Public Safety for Texas, their state patrol officers. Did a lot of apprehension, saw a lot of things coming across the border. That is our last Prepared episode. Make sure you check that out because that's on Mike Glover Actual. You can see the links down below. Guys, if you haven't heard about Firecracker Farm, firecracker.farm, the link's down below. If you use Mike Force, you save 15% on your first purchase. This is something that I organically started using because I'm into spicy food. I love spicy food. My kids actually like spicy food at the age of 4, but it has infused spices into the salt that I use on all the things that I do. And it's a pretty neat thing. I mean, you just do this, like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Habaneros and ghost peppers are infused in the salt. And it's actually really good in coffee. I use it in my Black Rifle coffee. Oh my God, that's hot. I actually use it in my breakfast as well. But Mike Forrest, say 15% at firecracker.farm. See what I do for you guys? I'm gonna get some water. Appreciate you guys.